Welcome back. Glad to have you with us, my great friends at the Tiger Sports Shop, kicking off another year. Love for you to come by. Got some college basketball, some got baseball right around the corner. Come by and see them. I hope you got your gift cards. If you did, then don't forget to go and start the year off right by going and see our great friends over at Tiger Sports and TigerSports.com. These people are amazing. You're going to love it. My great friends, Tiger Sports, College Avenue, Tiger Boulevard. It's Tiger Sports and TigerSports.com. Sam, let me get to Nick and Hal, and then I have a stat for you from the portal. Hey, Nick, thanks for hanging on so long. How you doing this morning?
Oh, no problem. Mickey, I think that was more like the Blockbuster store.
Yeah.
He's thinking people are going to keep on coming into the Blockbuster, even though they can get, at the time, get DVDs sent in by mail. Yeah. He says, oh, no, they're going to want to still come in my store because it's nostalgia. It's nostalgia. They want to come into my store.
Please be kind and rewind. You know, remember you got to do that. You had to rewind, or you got fined if you didn't rewind your VHS tape through there. Yeah.
And I think he had a chance to kind of get into the portal, and Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix out and be going for years on end, and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
And you don't have any stores anymore, Blockbuster. And that was about to be in the same type of boat if he doesn't wise up. And I don't mind the hiring about Chad Morris, but he better get some developmental talent. People to develop those kids, because so far wide receiver talent has stunk. We've had great people coming in, but once they come in, they're not being developed. They're still dropping balls.
And my biggest thing to wide receivers, Sam, I get to talk about this. Nick, I appreciate it, man. Happy New Year, buddy. Good points for sure. Thanks an awful lot. Sam, I drop balls, you know, cold weather, I get all that. I can't stand to see wide receivers so soft. And to see wide receivers get pushed around the field, not get off the line of scrimmage, and not block anybody.
You know what? One of the things I loved out of all the horrible things that happened in the bowl game, T.J. Moore was out there blocking injured. Yeah. Credit to him. I mean, you got to give
Tyler
credit
Brown blocked.
Yeah, like if you're gonna be a successful receiver on a really good offense, you got to be willing to block. Yeah. I think Clemson's receivers will block. I don't know if they add another one, but I do think that is a key to any good successful scheme. If you don't have the help on the outside, you're never going to be able to run outside zone or anything like that. So
a lot depends on what's going to happen with the Moore, Wesco, Brown, like who's staying, who's leaving, all that kind of stuff. It will depend on what you have to do there. But a starting wide receiver in college football now is $800,000 to $1 million, whereas like a Cam Coleman's a $2 million guy.
And you got to have it. I mean, it's a position where it's non-negotiable. You have to have elite
have to
talent.
Have it. There's no doubt. No doubt about that. Let me get Hal in before I get the portal numbers for you. Hal, happy New Year, man. How you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Let's see, just go back to being wide receiver you again. And they have had that many great productive receivers as of late. And hopefully they'll get either Chad Morris or Brandon Streeter because I got pissed off when Brandon Streeter went to Georgia of all places, and he could stay at Clemson. And Chad Morris, he might make a great offensive coordinator, offensive coach. And Garrett Riley, remember he don't have the same pedigree that Lincoln has, and just like Tommy Bowden never had the same pedigree that his father had.
That's a good point. It's a very good point, Hal. It's not necessarily the bloodlines, right? You know, Terry kind of had a little more success there, but not like his father had. So, still comes down to players, man. You got to get better football players. There's no doubt about that for sure.
And the Panthers, I mean, they it's a crazy scenario because Carolina they can still win the division even if they lose tomorrow because Atlanta's got to beat New Orleans in order for Carolina to get in, and an 8-9 record that was unheard of for a playoff team.
Yeah.
But once the playoffs begin, it's just like starting the season all over because anything can happen, you know.
Yeah, and I don't see them beating the Seahawks or Niners or Rams or Bears or Eagles or any of those teams. But hey, getting the playoffs, man, it'd be a huge deal. Be a great deal for the Panthers and a great turnaround, and they're definitely heading the right direction, no doubt about that.
Well, I knew going into the season the Panthers or are not worthy of being a Super Bowl team, you know.
No, no, not even close to that. But playoffs are better than not playoffs, and it'd be a deficit. You know, it's been a while. It's been a minute, and turn this thing around. So hopefully they'll have a great game on Saturday for sure. I mean, on Sunday for sure.
Tomorrow, you mean?
Tomorrow they play Saturday?
Yeah,
tomorrow Saturday. Yeah.
All right. I thought they'd play. Yeah, tomorrow afternoon. Going down to Tampa Bay, 4:30. ABC tomorrow. Two games tomorrow, by the way. Seahawks and 49ers. Yeah, mm-hmm. Pal, appreciate the phone call, bud. Thanks an awful lot.
Okay.
Can I give you two quick takes, Sam, before I get my portal numbers? Number one, Lane Kiffin left a team in the playoffs, go to team trying to get to the playoffs. And as all this happens now, you're like, you're leaving something that you built that got there to try to go to a team that's not got there right now. That's crazy to me. Yeah, and I felt bad. I didn't tweet this last night. But, you know, I like holding people accountable for things they said. Remember when Kirby was kind of smug in the SEC championship game and afterwards and talked about how much his team loves to practice, and he turned around and the reporter said up on the stage, hey, you know, your team loves to practice. They don't want to practice tonight. And he goes, hold on, let me ask him. Hey, you guys want to go practice tonight? Y'all want to practice? It was all I could do not to tweet out. I wonder if Kirby's going to have the guys practice tonight. Y'all want to go back to Athens and practice tonight? We love practicing. Let's go back and practice. After giving up that many yards and that many points to SMU. All right, here we go. Sam, breaking it down, just starting lineups now, not depth-wise, just starting lineups. Indiana, 4 recruited guys on offense starting, 7 transfer portal guys. Indiana.
Including quarterback.
Indiana, 5 recruited guys, 6 transfer guys on defense. So at Indiana, of the starting 22, 9 recruited guys, 13 transfer portal guys, including quarterback. Oregon's defense does have 8 guys. Now, Oregon's a top 5 recruiting team. Oregon, 8 on defense starters were recruited, 3 transfer guys. But on offense, 4 recruited guys, 7 transfer portal guys.
Going to sound like a broken record for the next 2 teams after this as well, including quarterback, sort of, but yes,
quarterback. Including quarterback, yes. And 12, so that's 12 recruited guys and 10 guys. Even though they're top 5 recruiting, still got to go get portal guys. Ole Miss on offense, 3 recruited guys, 8 transfer portal guys.
Do I need to say including quarterback?
No, I like it when you say it.
D2 quarterback.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw someone tweet this. How did anyone stop Trinidad Chambliss last year at the D2?
I heard his coach at Ferris State on a podcast earlier this year talked about what a football player he was.
I guess no one did stop him because they won.
So. On defense, 4 recruited guys, 7 transfer portal guys. So Ole Miss, 7 recruited starters, 15 portal guys among the starters. And finally, at Miami, who recruits well, 5 recruited guys starting on offense, 6 portal guys. You want to tell me, Sam?
Do I need to click the button, including quarterback?
Including quarterback. On defense, 4 recruited guys, 7 transfer portal guys. So Miami has 9 recruited guys, 13 portal guys. In all, on offense, between the 4 teams, 16 recruited guys, 28 portal guys of the 44. On defense, 21 recruited guys, 23 on defense. So of all the teams out there, 37 recruited guys, 51 portal guys of the final 4 teams. And of the 8 units, offense and defense for the 4 teams, only Oregon's defense has more recruited players than portal players. The other 7 have more portal players than recruited players starting right now.
And I think Miami's quarterback position specifically is an interesting case study for Clemson to take note of, because everybody made a big deal about Cam Ward opting out of the second half of the bowl game last year. And the whole offseason with Emory Williams, are they going to play Emory Williams? Are they going to go with Cam Ward down the stretch? Or are they going to go with Williams going into next year? Williams was in the building all year long. They got a little bit of a look at Williams. They didn't see enough. They couldn't hitch their wagon to that. They went out and got Carson Beck. Does that not sound a little bit familiar to the limited exposure that we've gotten to Christopher Vezina?
Preach.
Does that not sound like the, he looked okay,
yeah,
kind of exposure that we got to Christopher Vezina?
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems a little bit of a parallel to me.
Yeah, totally agree there. And then one final thought here. It wasn't a bad day for Clemson yesterday. Clemson fans don't like Alabama, correct? The last 2 days.
I don't know if anybody loves Alabama.
Clemson fans don't like Georgia, correct?
Probably.
And Clemson fans don't like Ohio State fans, correct?
Probably not.
No. In a 24-hour period where Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia loses, bad to say you're not part of all that losing and putting these teams with losses, pinning those losses on those guys. But, man, a lot of good stuff there. 7371 on our Adams & Co. Roofing text line this morning says, what defense hit the hardest this weekend, and who was your favorite defensive player in the college football playoffs?
Brandon Finney.
Yes.
Brandon Finney and Reuben Bain.
Yeah, both those guys had phenomenal games for sure, phenomenal seasons for Bain especially. But think about this. The most physical team won, I know, in three of the four games. Was Georgia more physical than Ole Miss last night? I don't know, man. Ole Miss defense kind of stood up. So I know that Miami is more physical than Ohio State. I know that Oregon is more physical than Texas Tech. And I know that Indiana is more physical than Alabama. Let me repeat that. Indiana was more physical than Alabama.
Another good defensive player worth mentioning. Mateo Uiagalelei.
Big Concrete.
Mm-hmm.
He played well. There's no doubt about that. 9866 said, SEC guys now saying that none of it counts because they have opt-outs. Nobody else does. It's more fun to win, but seeing all the all 10 teams I hate get eliminated certainly helps. Yeah, we're now down to relegated to having to pull against teams rather than having to pull for your teams. I got a bunch of texts on this asking the same question. Is Chad Morris official offensive coordinator? Not official. Not official. As of last night when I went to bed now, not official. They've not released it as of yet. But I was told yesterday afternoon, dot some I's and cross some T's, and then in principle, that's basically what it said there. 8817 says, with all the transfers, new coach, hires, and everything at Clemson, I personally had a second Christmas present over the past weekend. Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, all lost within 2 days. Couldn't get any better. Yeah, that's my point. Yeah, very good point, Texture. Great minds think alike there for sure. Texture, don't know that Clemson would have made it past the 40 against Texas Tech or Oregon or Miami or I'm adding this.
Indiana. I mean, how many points would they have scored in any of those games?
Yeah. That's one thing that was bad from it all is that it looked like Clemson was light years behind those teams.
They are.
Right.
I mean, they are not close to any of those teams.
Clemson fans this year had to sit back and watch bad football teams, bad football games. What you saw the last few days was certainly a good football team for sure. We've got a pretty special deal coming up. And I'm going to wait let me wait a second. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at 7:45 this morning. It's going to be pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. All right. Let me get a couple of more text messages. A bunch of people trying to text in Chad Morris final yet. Again, not final as of yet. 1538 said, if Dabo doesn't take a portal quarterback, it's coaching malpractice. Hopefully Chad will talk some sense into him. Is he getting there enough time to do that, Sam? Because aren't a lot of these deals already done by now?
If he's already been talking to Dabo throughout the year, I mean, I would imagine he probably has a grasp of what Dabo wants at quarterback if he's going to go. Again, yeah. As we've said literally the entire time, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't bring in somebody in that room.
Yeah,
they are one injury away from Chris Denson as of now starting for them at quarterback next year. I like Chris Denson long-term as a potential option. He's thrown four passes, and they were against Furman. Are you comfortable with that if Christopher Vezina got hurt? No. I mean, even there, like, just bring in a backup who has started somewhere.
My blood pressure go up over here.
There's no harm in that.
1777 said, Chad Morris is literally the imitation version of Gus Malzahn that FSU tried to use. It went bad for FSU. The hire doesn't make sense. I would say this. The only difference is that Chad Morris does not go in and rip staffs apart at the seams. That Gus Malzahn is a staff killer and is a guy that doesn't do a whole lot for continuity on staffs. And it is he's not a guy you want on your football staff, I can just tell you that. 654 Roar, 654-7627. Texas said, if Dabo doesn't get a portal quarterback this cycle, he should be fired immediately, fired with cause. That's not a cause thing. Cause thing is, fired with cause would be you broke rules or you did something illegal and all that. You can't because you don't take portal guys, you can't do that. Texas said, I've never seen a player where the defensive player knew what was going to happen, like Miami's pick six Wednesday night. Yeah, he almost overran the play. Scott, that is. Almost overran the play.
I saw Kwok tweeted, and it was literally the first thing I thought of. It was like in the video game. If any of you have played the video game, you throw that RPO bubble screen that's in every single playbook. You see press man, you're like, I can't throw that. And you got to throw it anyway because it's a screen. You can't ground a screen like that. You have to throw the ball. I don't know if I've ever seen a corner, Texas, right? I don't know if I've ever seen a corner jump it to the level that he did on that play.
All right. I have no line out for the Miami-Ole Miss game as of yet. I do have a line for Oregon and Indiana. Sam, I'll let you guess before we take a break.
4.
Have you seen it?
No.
It's 4.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every once
in a while. No. Take some credit there, buddy. Take a bow.
It's hard to beat a very good team twice in the same year, which Indiana has to go do.
For housekeeping purposes here, 7:30 next Thursday night, the 8th. ESPN, Miami Ole Miss from Arizona. And this makes no sense because we should reverse these. Because Oregon and Indiana are coming to Atlanta. I guess Indiana to Atlanta is not that bad. Oregon certainly is. But Miami and Ole Miss going out to Arizona. And it reminds me, my very intelligent wife, a doctor, by the way, with her doctorate degree, we're sitting in State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, playing Alabama for the national championship. And my wife asked in the pregame, what are two teams in the South doing out here in the middle of the desert playing football game? You'll see it there. Miami and Ole Miss coming over under for Miami and Ole Miss is 51.5, which is higher than the Oregon-Indiana game at 47.5. But I don't see a spread yet for Miami and Ole Miss. And maybe that staff is a big part of that. Speaking of staff, I'll tell you what's going on with Ole Miss's staff coming up here in a second. We'll take a break. We'll come back. No Josh Williams this week in that Josh was here on Tuesday previewing the college football playoff games. So one more open phone line segment when you return right after this.
It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at Lake Kiwi Ford, and my team's ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and all always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
60 years. That's how long Joe Robertson and son have been roofing homes and businesses right here in the upstate. For generations, they've protected families, local businesses, and landmarks you pass every day. Look around. There's a good chance the roof over your favorite restaurant, your neighbor's home, or even the building you're driving by is a Joe Robertson and son roof. Why have families trusted them for 6 decades? Because this is a family business built on honest workmanship, fair pricing, and doing the job right every single time. And with Joe Robertson and Son, you don't pay a dime until the job is completed to your satisfaction. If you need roofing service or a new roof, trust the family that upstate families have trusted for 60 years. Make it a Joe Robertson and Son roof. Call 864-246-0886. That's 864-246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
All over Greenville, people are asking, what's a Vermeer?
Well, Vermeer is one of Greenville's newest corporate citizens. The company builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing underground utility construction. Vermeer machines are leading the way in soft dig trenchless innovation, enabling the exposure of underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods. Get the scoop at vermeer.com/dig.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
We don't whisper opinions. We deliver them at full volume.
They do not know how to whisper.
105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Palindrome for you, right? There you go. Hey, Greer Flooring Center does an incredible job. I know so little about flooring. I know how to walk on flooring. Actually, I installed a floor at the house one time. With that said, this is a subject that I know enough to call the man and let the man do it. The man is Greer Flooring Center. Greer Flooring Center in Greer, and right now in Easley, they do an absolutely terrific job. We love Greer Flooring Center. These people are incredible with their knowledge base, with their products. I mean, let's face it, it's top of the line. Prices are amazing. Installation teams are awesome. They don't sell about warranties, but the warranties are the best in the business as well. We love our great friends at Greer Flooring Center, Greer Flooring Center. Go by and see both those locations to get commercial and residential flooring. Good people. Telephone number 654-ROAR. Jeff is a happy man this morning. Good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
Pretty good, Mickey. How you doing?
Great. Congratulations. Nice win.
I appreciate it. I love the way they called that game. You know, there wasn't a flag till the fourth quarter, and they let it go both ways, and that was a very violent game.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of calling the games, I thought Dawson tried to lose the A&M game by not running the football until late, and then when they ran it, they scored. But before, it's like, why are they throwing it? All they got to do is run the football. But he didn't have that problem against Ohio State. They lined up and smashed Ohio State, and they ran the football extremely well.
I thought Fletcher, I loved that one play. I mean, I saw about four helmets that didn't call.
Yeah, yeah, it was physical.
They were holding the offensive linemen.
Yeah.
On both sides, probably.
Oh,
I saw them holding a lot.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt that was a they let them play, and there wasn't you didn't have a single penalty on you the entire game. I think Ohio State had one that you accepted the entire game.
They didn't throw it till the fourth quarter, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
crazy.
You know, kind of like the SEC crew, I guess. At least the SEC got an official in there. Maybe they were making up for when we got robbed by the national championship.
Well, I've got a great friend of mine who is a Miami fan, and he talked about how this is going to be a revenge game. It's a revenge game all the way through for them, and it's nice to see it. And it was the biggest game in a long time.
And they just kept talking about all the talent Ohio State had, the talent.
Yeah.
And
Miami's got all the talent now. I mean, you look up and down. That offensive line right now really is amazing. And the defensive line just controlled the run game and got all over Saiyan, pressured him, forced him into mistakes. Miami was a better team
Wednesday
night, no doubt.
I just talking about Ole Miss, The only thing that worries me is that quarterback, Chandler, because he can move.
Yeah. You've got to beat him up. You got to punish the skill. You got to find a way to see if they can do that. And the bottom line is, if you can, control the clock too. I think lines of scrimmage will be huge in this game once again. And I think Miami.
Yeah, I hope they.
I like Miami in this one.
Beck. I mean, as long as he throws those little, dink and dunk, that's okay. You know, take a few shots down the field, but don't press, and he'll be all right, maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, I thrown one interception in the past 5 or 6 games.
I will say this. There's only one major issue coming out of the game that I'd be worried about, and that was, man, that game was so physical that how beat up are you? Now, a lot of that goes away because you're playing the national semifinals and you just find a way to bumps and bruises don't matter as much. But that was a physical game, man, and that was a bloodletting game, so. Can you come back?
They was picking people up and slamming them to the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Talking about defensive backs, the guy y'all were talking about for the freshman that got 2 interceptions.
Yes.
Penny, wasn't that his name?
Yes. Yeah, from Oregon,
I kind of like our safety, Keontae Scott, the one that picked that ball off and took it back.
He a smart football player. They talked about how smart he is. He looked smart on the one play, didn't he? And you know he was a guy who played all year. I mean, he's a guy that was hurt a little bit.
He was hurt all year.
Yeah, you're better with him in there, no doubt about that.
But I'm pretty sure he comes from a junior college.
Oh, I didn't know.
He's a portal guy. Yeah. But I loved it when he picked it up and he turned his head and looked at that Ohio State bench when he was still running down the sideline.
he could have walked that far. And now let's not forget that if you win. On Thursday.
I know.
It's in Miami.
I know where it's going to be at.
It's on your home field. And now, remember, you didn't go and beat Miami in Orange Bowls for national championships. I'm not sure that Hard Rock Stadium has the same mystique that the old Orange Bowl had, but it'd be a huge home field advantage for Miami. If you can get the thing done.
That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. I cannot remember. I know they always played them in Orange Bowl. I watched them back in the 80s win the championships, but. Well, did they play Penn State and Orange Bowl?
No,
Penn State,
no, that was out.
4 interceptions.
No, that was out in the desert. That was out in Phoenix.
Okay,
Glendale area.
That's Fiesta, wasn't it?
Yeah, Fiesta. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll get off, Mick, and y'all have
Thank
a happy
you, Jeff.
New year, man.
You too, buddy. Congratulations, big win there. Yes, Jeffy's going down there. There's only one negative to Miami winning and Miami playing potentially. 2 more football games this year. And that is the Taylor Swift effect. Sam, you know what I mean by the one negative when it comes to Miami football, the Taylor Swift effect?
Elaborate. It's on the phone.
Seeing Michael Irvin on the sideline.
See, Michael Irvin cracks me up. We disagree here.
I mean, idiot.
He absolutely kills me.
I mean, and the belt thing, that's just childish.
See, but I Michael Irvin cracks me up. It's annoying to an extent, I'm sure, but he cracks me up.
Ugh. Gets to me. Georgia Greg, I'm surprised you're up. Did you sleep last night after the game?
No, I've got to go to work, unfortunately. Oh, man. I'm surprised I'm up, too, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Mick, yeah, I missed your first hour. I usually like to hear y'all's analysis of the game. I'll tell you my thoughts in just thinking about it. I don't know if you agree or not. I felt like it's the first time since 2018 that Georgia had the game in their hands and really kind of blew it by not at the end of the second quarter, beginning of the third quarter, not putting the game away. And Ole Miss just outplayed us in the fourth quarter. And Chambliss, I'll give him credit for that. But I feel like – and I didn't feel like it was a targeting call. Ole Miss didn't score off it, but it kept us from getting the ball back one more time in the first half.
Yeah.
And I thought our play calling at the beginning of the third quarter was not good.
You stopped calling runs, but then you couldn't run it either. In the second half, the first half, it was all you ran the ball right down their throat.
But in the second half, you couldn't run the football. And as a result, I think that's the only way you win the game. I'll give you the rushing yards in the second half when I find it here in a second. But I thought that was a big deal. And the goal line, the fourth down stuff, fake punt, the snafu, man, down there, that was huge. And when you snap, you shouldn't have snapped the ball down there, supposedly, on the fourth down. And that ended up hurting you. That gave them a touchdown. There was a lot of blunders that Georgia had in the game.
Like I said, Ole Miss won the game. They beat us. They deserved it. But did you feel like – I'm just asking as not a fan of our team – that we would have been the better one in the semifinals? We just blew our second half. I don't know. It's a weird game to me. I'm just befuddled and lost. But it is what it is. We lost, and they took it to us in the fourth quarter. But I felt like we kind of – lost our chance to put that game away when we should have.
Yeah, I personally feel like that Miami is Miami does what Georgia does, but they do it better, kind of a thing. Like I told you, that's what Ohio State is Georgia, but Ohio State's a little bit better in almost everything. I think Miami's kind of the same way. Physical, run the ball, lines of scrimmage kind of the game there, quarterback managing kind of deal there. I would have missed a chance for Beck and to face Georgia again and see what that looked like. But I'm looking at it now, Greg. You and I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was this bad. But Georgia just couldn't run it. In the second half, 4-yard run, no gain. 1-yard run, no gain. 2-yard run, 5-yard run, 1-yard run, no gain. 4-yard run, 3-yard run, 1-yard run. I mean, yeah, we're running it awesome in the first half. And the second half, man, you did have an 11-yard run in the fourth quarter. But that's the only, I think, another 11-yard run here. I'm looking at it now on all these drives. 2-yard run minus 1-yard run. Like, you couldn't run the ball in the second half.
Yeah.
Surprising. And then down there in the goal line, because through all that, you had a chance to win the football game on the goal line, and you couldn't punch it in. So.
And like I said, that's surprising. I mean, it's the first time in a while. I mean, we've had so many games where we shouldn't either won or we had to come back and win, and – so it's the first time in a while we didn't do that. So
yeah,
heartbreaking.
Yeah, when you had the ball down there, did you know? You thought you were gonna win the game. First and goal at the 8, second and goal at the 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felt confident.
Yep.
But like I said, I still feel like that end of the second quarter, beginning of the third quarter. Could have put it away, and then I think we would have ran the ball better if we get up a couple of scores, put them on their heels a little bit, but we didn't. So they got us. Credit them. Chambliss is a good quarterback.
I'm looking at it now. 37, make sure I'm right with saying it's 42, 41, 18 carries for 41 yards in the second half.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't realize you ran it 18 times. You did, but you couldn't. You had two nice runs in the second half, and that was it. Meanwhile, in the first half, it was Frazier just running it right up the A-gap.
What do you feel about the targeting call? Do you agree with it or disagree?
No, I did not agree with the call.
I thought it hurt us because I thought it would have made Ole Miss punt, and we could have got another score. But I'm not saying that still we had a lot more chances 30 minutes in the second half. But
yeah,
I don't know.
It's bad whenever you have to fake a punt, and then because you're 2 4th downs, right? Those were two big storylines in the game.
Yeah,
yeah. Coaching staff, I felt like Ole Miss kind of outcoached Georgia a little bit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think in the second half they got us.
Yep.
I thought when we could have put it away, we didn't, and I give credit to the coaching when they do that.
Yep.
Yep.
And here we are, man, after you win us back-to-back, I told you got to enjoy them because not going to win them all the time.
And here's a funny question. You feel kind of good about how – Georgia was truthfully one of the youngest teams in the nation.
Yeah.
But does that even matter?
No. No, you want to be old now. Because, look, guys can be coming after your guys. And you have to pay them to hang on to them. That's just where we are right
we
now.
We just have a retention for the most part. So I think our guys will – but, like, it's just funny. Like, we – you know, in years past, you'd be like, okay, it's a heartbreaking loss, but we had probably the youngest team out there, and so we're going to really be – good, but that doesn't matter anymore, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you what else. This is weird to say. Because, you know, Clemson had this thing. When Clemson, as a freshman, when Trevor Lawrence was a freshman, they destroyed Alabama in California, and he thought, oh, man, this guy, he's going to win two or three national championships.
Yeah, he should have multiple, right? Yeah.
Well, he didn't know you're going to run into Joe Burrow one year. Then you didn't know the COVID thing would hit, and then you'd run into a good Ohio State team. The Georgia freshman that beat – TCU 65-7. Would you believe that I told you that would have been their last national championship that the freshman class would have won that year? No way.
No way. I still think if we could have somehow gotten the playoffs in 23, but we didn't. And that's the thing. You just don't. You need luck. You need everything to go your way. And if it don't, you're not there.
Yep. You never know. You never know.
Yep.
All right, Greg, I appreciate the phone call, buddy.
Happy New Year, Mickey.
You too, buddy. Greg's got to go to work. People need medication from his pharmacy, and, boy, I felt bad for him this morning for sure.
For what it's worth with the Georgia game, a couple things that stood out to me that are interesting that, again, I talked about it earlier and we mentioned Georgia doesn't lose games like that very often. Yeah. Missed face mask for Ole Miss in the fourth quarter. Could have swung the game.
I mean,
should've
how do you miss that call?
How do you miss that call? And we see it very often, both college and NFL. Face mask seems like the easiest thing to see when a guy's
wide
head whips
open
around.
It's not like he's in a pile either.
No.
That was out in the open.
When the head whips around, there's probably a grab.
Yeah.
That could have shifted the game.
Yeah.
Ole Miss's, and Sean McDonough called it blatantly terrible. It was god-awful clock management at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Where instead of 21-15 with Carnero, who's excellent, having a chance at a longer kick, they can't get out of bounds.
And
it's 21-12. They get away with that. Ole Miss manages to get away with that. Georgia lets that happen. Those are things that most Georgia games, they're the better coach team.
But
they find a way to win anyway, and
they still
didn't do it.
I can tell you this, Sam. It's a great point. I can tell you this. Even though they gave up 34 points, I can make a case that Ole Miss's defense, including the goal line stand down there, Ole Miss's defense won the football game.
Absolutely did. It kept that. You expect Georgia to get 7 points in that situation.
Yeah. And as a result, Ole Miss beats Georgia in a revenge game. And now Georgia, that's – what if I told you that, Sam, 3 straight years – that Georgia's not going to win the national championship after that freshman class did what did TCU.
It's hard to beat a good team twice in the same regular season, and Georgia couldn't do it with – or in the same season, Georgia couldn't do it with Ole Miss. Indiana-Oregon should be very interesting for that reason, among many others.
I gave 80 yards rush in the first half, 41 yards rush in the second half. Mm-hmm. Short break. We'll come back. We'll have our ReedyLandCo.com hunting and fishing report when you return right after this.
Keeping your commercial roof in its best condition keeps your business running. Adams & Co. understands how important your business is to our community, your family, and your employees.
Whether you have shingle, silicone, TPO, metal, or a bitumen roof,
we not only repair current damage and leaks, but can also offer a free roof inspection to help catch small issues before they become a big problem. 864-260-0080. Call Adams & Co. for all your commercial roofing needs. Adams & Co., making a difference one roof at a time.
The Market at the Mill invites you to join them for Mistletoe at the Market, a free craft show featuring hundreds of artisans from all over the Carolinas. On Saturday, November 18th from 8 to 4, don't miss handcrafted goods perfect for all your holiday needs. Savor delicious treats from our amazing food trucks, plus exciting prize giveaways, including a $500 cash prize. And join us in supporting Pickens County Toys for Tots, accepting donations all day long. The Market at the Mill, 225 Pumpkin Town Highway in Pickens.
Did you know the IRS is hiring thousands of new revenue officers, leading to more audits and levies? If you have outstanding taxes, these changes could bring added stress and trouble your way. Take action now before things get worse. Let David Green at Green Law Firm help you resolve your tax issues before the IRS comes knocking. Call Green Law Firm today at 864-271-7940. That's 864-271-7940. Or visit greenlaw.legal. Act now and enjoy peace of mind tomorrow.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around the baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay. Turf grass management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit seeducationlottery.com/betteryou.
The Mickey Flyler Show, forming the upstate since circa 1834. Dang, that is old. Monday through Friday, right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us, my great friends at Patterson's Tax Service, PATTX.com, PATTX.com, 864-859-8289. We love the Patterson's Tax Service. I was talking to Russell the other day. He goes, man, we've given you a lot of tax planning, a lot of tax strategies type stuff. I've been meeting with companies for the last few months, small business the last few months, about what we're going to do in 2026 to end the year right for 25 and going to 26. But now, man, let's just talk. We got to get this tax preparation stuff. Make your appointment now. They'll be there today taking your phone calls, getting your appointments in. 864-859-8289. 864-859-8289. Get in the front of the line, first in, first out. And right now, you can set it up for probably the 20th or so, 25th of the month in that range to get your taxes done. Patrick's Tax Service, PATTX.com. This segment brought to you by great friends at Reedy Land Co. Talk some hunting and fishing report. Jinx Patrick in studio today.
That's right.
Good to see you, man.
New Year's resolution.
Yeah. Do you like how this is a David Letterman effect? Like my platform's higher, so I kind of look down on you?
Yeah.
You know, that was a purpose thing for Letterman.
I kind of want to raise my chair up, but at the same time, I'm scared it might shoot me through the ceiling.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. All the way through the panels up that way. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
How you been?
I've been doing great. Good. We traveled a little bit with the family, did a little bit of hunting, and did a little bit of duck hunting. Enjoyed it.
Nice. Where'd you go?
Went down to Georgetown.
Nice, man. Nice. Did the girls stay up till midnight? Did they all do that?
We did. Now, I have a 16-year-old, so she actually was out. She was out.
Wow. And,
you're doing...
So you're watching that. You're watching the clock. Are you doing her phone thing, like find my phone and all that kind of stuff?
I don't know how kids go to college now. Like, do the parents just know where they are all the time?
All the time. We had a very interesting subject.
That's right. We talked about, and I know you remember, I really enjoyed it, but we talked a lot about falconry back in the day. A couple of years ago, probably been 5 years ago, and we had a couple of hunts out on my land.
You've been to it. You've seen it.
I've done it, yes.
Yeah, you've done it.
Yeah, and when I say I've done it, you participate, you're there, and you witness it, and your main job is to look for, we were hunting rabbits.
Right.
So we're using falconry to do that, and we were using red-tailed hawks. Down in Greenwood, a group came up from the Midlands, and they were using rabbit dogs. Okay. So we were, sometimes when people are hawking, they're going to go for squirrel, sometimes they're going to go for rabbit. That's typically the most common things you hear of. And you're trying to train them not to go for field mice and things like that, specifically for what you want. And this individual used dogs. So he had beagles that were cooperating with the hawk, and they would go and run the rabbit.
All right. In that case, do you have to have a bird to do falconry? Do you have to have dogs to do it as well or not?
Yeah, so this group, some people don't. Some people go, and specifically the ones that are going for squirrels, they can, sometimes they use a dog, a squirrel dog, and sometimes they just walk the woods, you know, looking for squirrels, which you would think they're really, you know, if you think about it, when you walk around Clemson's campus, they're all over the place.
They're easy to find until you want to hunt them.
That's right.
I don't know how they know. There's tiny little brain, but they know all that stuff.
That's right.
All right, so the dogs, are the dogs trained to work with the hawk?
That's right. the dogs, I mean, they're generally doing what they're bred to do, mm-hmm. right? Beagles will run a rabbit. They don't run them fast. It's a slow chase. So if you're in thick grass normally, mm-hmm. low pines, young pines, and if you were in a satellite watching that, the rabbit generally goes about 20 yards and freezes up and tries to hide, and the beagles come and bump it. So it's kind of a slow chase.
They physically bump it?
Well, they get close enough because the rabbit gets pushed.
Right.
And
so it's a fright deal where the rabbit kind of locks up.
Yeah, and then sometimes it gets faster, but it's right. not like running dogs.
What does the dog think of the bird?
It's probably like, I don't know what's going on.
Because, I mean, the dog, most people hunt with dogs. They're taking shotguns out.
Yeah.
And they're hitting these rabbits, yeah. right? And you can see it, the rabbit's down. The dog gets the – does the dog actually – the beagle doesn't retrieve a rabbit, or does the beagle retrieve the rabbit?
No. Okay. So the hawk will actually, when they come
down. I'm talking about with the gun hunting.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, you get it.
You get it. Yeah. So he's not interested in it. Once it's dead, is he just not chasing anymore? Does he look at it? Does he sniff it?
Usually sniff it. And all that, but this right. is—I can imagine it'd be pretty, pretty interesting conversation between two dogs. Where they're like, I swear, I almost had the rabbit again, and something came out of the sky.
Yeah, it's like the Roadrunner coyote. I almost had it again. Man.
I don't know what's going on, Carl. I don't know.
All right, the bird obviously is trained because you can't have. I mean, could you do falconry without the dog at all?
Yes.
Okay.
You could do it for a rabbit, but most of the time, squirrels. Those people are going for squirrels.
Okay. All right. So, but this is a process. By the way, is there a difference in a falcon and a hawk?
A hawk is a falcon.
Okay.
But not all falcons are hawks.
Okay. I learned that one too then. And you said hawking. Is it hawking? Is it falconry? Is it both?
I would say the most common term is falconry.
Okay.
But people get confused across the two.
All right. So you get the guy comes out, right? He brings the bird out.
Right.
He's on his arm.
Yep.
Right? And then he's got blinders on before then or not?
Yeah, and he'll take off the blinders and send it up, and it's generally going to work.
Okay.
It's going to go up and start circling.
Okay. How high is the bird, basically?
They're lower than you think.
Okay.
They don't go.
It's not like the Auburn War Eagle where he's up the top of the stadium.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. It was remarkably low. I was wondering, how is the hawk going to see the rabbit at that angle? I was kind of wondering that. And then it would just hammer it.
how many different orbits are we talking about? How many times is it going around?
We saw three rabbits go down in a span of about 2 hours. And with two different hawks, they lose interest after a while.
They do. We don't. I'm not losing interest in this.
It's very similar to a cat. The personality of the bird is very similar. You know, it's like kind of your friend, but it's kind of just dealing with you because you might give him a rabbit.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna get now. So that leads us to the local story here.
Yep, there is a letterman from Clemson.
A two-time football national champion.
Yep, safety.
Trevor Lawrence is no. Denzel Johnson.
Yep.
Denzel Johnson from Columbia, who, oh, by the way, now he's a Falconeer. Is that what we're calling
it? That's right. He's. I don't know how he got into it, but my resolution this year is to find out.
All right. He played at AC Flora, which are the Falcons. Maybe that's how he got in the Falconry.
Maybe that's. It's got to be some connection. All right,
but he's local still. Mm-hmm. And this is a hobby, maybe that he has, or
he hunts without dogs. Okay. He's learning. This is what I know, and he has taken to it. Set up, met some people online. You know, they got a community of falconers, and they keep up with each other. And he generally goes for squirrels, and he does not run dogs.
Okay.
And he has an active channel. You can find him on Instagram.
Do falconers have one bird, two birds, 10 birds? Like a rabbit hunt, you got how many? I know guys had like 50 dogs.
Yeah, and they'll have different birds, and they'll have different types of birds. One of them will be a red-tailed hawk, and the other one, there's peregrine falcons, there's things like that, and they're smaller and faster.
So this is the least active hunting you can do because you're not doing anything. So when the bird gets the dog runs the rabbit. The bird gets the rabbit.
Yeah.
What happens next?
The bird gets the rabbit. He shuttles around it. He generally puts his – and your job is to to get to it and make sure that the squirrel doesn't – the squirrel will fight back.
Oh.
And so you want to get there quick, make sure they don't get in a tussle. I mean, generally, the hawk's going to win, but you don't want it to be something where you need to deal with an injury.
You got a gun with you just in case or something? Or you beat it? What? Nope. How do you just take it off of it? Like,
you just separate them.
Okay.
And
most of the time,
you'll give them as a treat at the end, the part that they like the best is the head. That's generally what they're going for.
They're
going
to eat it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it danger stick in your hand or whatever you got to stick down in there to get it?
Yeah. I mean, it's an active thing.
That's because there's a chance now. We're trying to get Denzel in here with us, right? And he's going to bring a bird with him.
I mean, that's my goal.
Okay. Because I told Sam when he's going to be with us on a Friday, Sam, what if you have to be in the studio with this thing and that falcon just wants to eat your face off?
I mean, you just let it happen.
That's exactly what I said. I said, if that's meant to be, it's meant to be.
That's the way to go. Yeah. What happened to Sam? He was a good producer. Well, a falcon ate his face off, and he's not here anymore.
Yeah.
All right, so the squirrel/rabbit. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. If you are a if you're a falcon, what's more dangerous to you, the squirrel or the bird? The squirrel or the rabbit?
I think the squirrel is. I think the squirrel is generally
because of the teeth.
Yep.
Okay.
You know they're in a situation where they're fighting something hard.
All right. And it's how many times is it dead or just wounded or just stunned?
No, they're very good at their job. They know exactly what they're doing, and so that you know this is their living. Taking these things out.
I'm just wondering how often happens where the rabbit or the squirrel gets up and runs off and goes, phew, that was close.
I think if you got the right cover, there's a possibility of that. I think there are misses, and okay. I saw that in my.
But once it gets it on the ground and with it on it,
done. Yeah, they don't.
He's killing it for the most part. Or is it still kind of staggering around?
Yeah, they'll kill it for the most part.
Okay.
And
you just want to get there after the kill, but before the eat.
Yeah, and that's my only job in this thing. I'm just. It's very similar. Do you remember that old cartoon where you had, like, the big dog and the little dog?
Yeah,
decided,
Spike.
Like, give it Spike, yeah.
Yeah,
huh, Spike. Like, give him Spike. Like, yeah. I'm the little dog. I'm like, yeah, get him.
Okay. Which is different than every other hunt you've ever been on.
Yeah. I'm just sitting there like, yeah, what am I supposed to do here?
But now, the dog is not getting that close, right? Is the beagle going to get? Because
No. And they know not to mess with the falcon. I definitely saw that in the training. They're comfortable around each other.
All right. With that said, birds have to be expensive?
I would be interested to find out. This is going to be part of our interview. What we need to find out is what does it cost to run this? Like, what's the – I know, like, it's expensive to be a
– you just don't go, like, catch a hawk and all of a sudden, hey, let's go hawking.
Yeah, there's training. You're going to teach it to recall. That's probably the most important thing first. Yeah.
And you keep the bird at the house or at your office, I mean, or whatever,
you
compound.
Have an aviary, yeah.
Yeah, and you got to feed the thing. And these are, now, tell me this. How big of a bird are you talking about?
They're big.
Yeah.
The red tails are very big.
Yeah. At the Walker course when we play golf, there's about 6 or 8 hawks out there. And they're screeching like crazy all day long back and forth.
Yeah.
This is not a, like, I'm going to sneak up on somebody kind of thing. Is that a territorial deal? Do we know why
that? Yeah, that's more of a territorial.
Just making sure they're doing that.
When they're hunting, they're quieter.
Yeah. All right, I'm getting all kinds of stuff here. Texture said, we did it in Ireland, and it was incredible. Well, look, if you did it in Ireland, you did it with hares instead of rabbits. And a hare, so I'm playing golf. This is a quick story for you because we got to get to the top of the hour break here. A hare, I'm on the golf course, I look down, and it's the most massive-looking rabbit I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is that? That's a rabbit? Go, oh, no, it's a hare. Like, that's a massive rabbit.
Yeah.
And the feet on the thing look like my feet.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, the hiney's not on the ground.
No,
it's actually, like, standing up like a dog.
This thing's got to weigh 15 pounds, 20 pounds. What's a rabbit weigh?
Typical rabbit's, like, 1 pound.
These are 15-pound rabbits.
Yeah.
Massive rabbits do all that. In our final couple of minutes, tell me about the new year for ReedyLandCo.com.
New year, new properties. We've got a lot to sell. If you look at the journal, we got a great spot in the journal, front page, back page, showing a bunch of our new properties we've got. I got a new mountain property that's coming online this week. It's 4 acres right on the border of North Carolina, South Carolina, 45 minutes from Greenville, and it's only $125,000. I think that one's going to sell pretty quick. Yeah. It's a good lot.
Everywhere I go, I see the logo. I mean, I probably saw it before, but now that you guys have been involved with us on the station, I see it everywhere with properties.
I mean, we need to get you down there to Greenville to do an on-site. It's a very well-run marketing team. You got the graphic side, you got what we're doing today, and then some of their on-site visits. Our Fall Farm Day is fantastic. They really do a good job.
I hated to miss the party that you had a few weeks ago. I'm sure you guys would do all that right. And you got to sell property, because I'm gonna tell you, man. Anybody that shows up, I didn't see what you drove up today. Everybody who shows up in the nicest truck I've ever seen. So we've got to sell some property, pay for some trucks.
That's right,
man. It's unbelievable what these guys drive, man. You driving in one of those big rigs?
I drive a Bronco. I believe in being able to turn around.
Yeah.
And I believe in a four-wheel drive Bronco or Jeep or, you know, smaller SUV is the way to go for
me. All right. Some of these things, man, I look at it like, that's got to be a – somebody told me the other day, I was in a parking lot and a truck pulled up. And he goes, you see that one right there? And he goes, like, stripped down, that's like 85 grand now. I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, you need to get you a farm and get you a truck.
Yes, with a long driveway.
That's my other resolution, is to sell you something.
We're working on it, man. We're working on it. ReedyLandCo.com. So the New Year's resolution is, we're getting Denzel in here.
That's their job.
And we're getting Bone, his hawk in here.
His newest hawk.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that. Appreciate it for sure.
All right.
Happy New Year. Guys. Jinx Patrick talking some falconry, kicking off 2026. Great stuff there. And we'll get Bone. We'll get Denzel in here for sure. Should be a great segment. Love to hear from you. Hour number three when you come back, right after a short top of the hour break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.